This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jum'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannat Firdaws al-A'la, in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba, Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, imagine giving your son or your daughter an advice. You see them that they're doing something that is wrong, and they're persistent in what they're doing that is wrong. And sometimes you will come and give them advices very gently. Sometimes you'll be harsh in your advice. Sometimes you would tell them about stories of the past, about people who did the same sin, and what was their outcome? What was their final outcome? What eventually happened to them? And sometimes if something has happened in our life to someone else, we will show them that, you see, the same person were doing the same exact thing as you were doing, and look where they ended up. Likewise, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah understands the nature of the human being. Once again, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. He knows our mizaj, He knows our temperament, He knows our attitude, He knows what we react to, He knows how we react, He knows how we are proactive, He knows everything about us. He knows us more than we know ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like a parent gives advices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives advices accordingly. Sometimes those advices are very gentle advices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forward the stories and the blessings of Jannah to tell us what we will get if we stick to the right path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times, He uses His harsh approach by telling us what has He stored for us in the fire of Jahannam if a person goes the wrong way. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will share with us stories of the past. That this is what Bani Israel did, this is what the crimes of Bani Israel, make sure you don't go down the same road. So all over the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us advices, and sometimes they're gentle, sometimes they're harsh, sometimes they are, you know, too bitter to swallow, and sometimes there are stories, but at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He cares for us. Now what happens to that parent, going back to the example of the parent, what happens to that parent when he gives advices, or she as a mother is giving advice to their son and their daughter over and over again, and that son or that daughter has chosen to do what is wrong, has chosen not to take the right advice? What eventually happens to the parent is that, you know what, I'm done. I can't, there's nothing I can say, there's nothing I can do, I have spent money, I've taken them to counseling, I've given them all the tools that they need to succeed, that they can use to succeed, but they don't want to listen, they're on their way anymore, I can't do anything about it. And no one can come to you as a parent and say, you haven't done your job. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran, verses of Jannah, verses of Jahannam, stories of the past, and yet if we, as a Muslim, as a human being, as an individual, if I still choose to go down the wrong path, as Allah says in the Quran, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوا سَبِيلًا. They see the right path, they're still not going to take it. وَإِنْ يَرَوْا سَبِيلَ الْغَيِّ يَتَّخِذُهُ سَبِيلًا. They see the wrong path, they will deliberately take the wrong path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these kind of people because these kind of people exist. Now what do you think, in that situation, what would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah says, at the end of the day, I've given this human being the tools to become successful. If they still want to take the wrong path, that's on them. We can't put this on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore, that Allah has not guided us. Allah has not given us the Quran to be guided by. We can't make any more excuses on the Day of Judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person can say that, Ya Allah, I committed a sin because this was written in my qadr. No. Because we don't even know what's in our qadr. A person can come to the masjid and we can say that this was in your written in your qadr. Or a person can go commit a sin, but you chose to commit the sin. The human being chose to commit the sin. You can't put that on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the Quran, there's a surah, and in that surah, there's one ayah that today I want to talk about in this khutbah. First of all, the surah is Surah Al-Hadid. For those of you who don't know what Surah Al-Hadid is, it is a surah, the last surah of the 27th juz. It comes after Surah Al-Waqi'ah, before Surah Al-Mujadalah. And in the surah, in a nutshell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about certain people who were disconnected from spirituality, and their entire focus was to capture this dunya, was to attain and run after this dunya. And there were some people that they completely disconnected from this dunya. And they chose a life of abstinence, and only thing they were focused on was spirituality. Allah is telling us in this surah that as a believer, we need to choose the right path. We need to live in this dunya, we need to work for this dunya, we have a family to take care of, we have children to take care of, we have responsibilities to fulfill, so that is why we need to go into this dunya. A believer cannot sit down and say, you know what, khalas, I have, you know, completely disconnected myself from this dunya. No believer can do something like that, and anyone who does something like that, they're absolutely wrong. At the same time, we need to maintain our spirituality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He paints for us a picture in the Qur'an about people on the Day of Judgment, believers and the munafiqun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who are the believers, these are people who focus on their faith. These are people who focus on their spirituality. Yes, they lived in this dunya, they attained this dunya, but they made sure that the akhirah was the primary goal of their entire life. So Allah says that these people are going to be crossing over the bridge. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah grant us the tawfiq to cross over that bridge over Jahannam with success. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. But what happens that when these believers are passing by very quickly, the munafiqun are standing by and they're saying that, hold up. You know, unzuruna naqtabis min nurikum. The hypocrites are telling the believers, just wait up, you have all this nur, mashallah. You know, we in this dunya, we never really focus on our spirituality. We lived a life of disobedience. But now today, mashallah, you have the nur, we want to benefit from this nur. The believers will tell the munafiqun that no. We told you in this dunya, we gave you many advices. We told you to listen to this khutbah, that advice. You didn't want to listen. Now you go back and you find your own nur. قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. You're not going to get any of our nur today. Then at that time, these people, the munafiqun, they will say what? يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. They'll be told, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there'll be a barrier. بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبْلِ الْعَذَابِ. On one side, there is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side, where the munafiqun are, there is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now these people, the munafiqun, they will say, أَنَمْ لَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Like, come on, we were with you. We were always with you. We used to go to the same da'wats. We used to go to the same masjid, same community centers. We used to go, you know, hanging out with each other. My kids and your kids used to always hang out with each other. We used to meet each other at soccer practices and so forth. We were always around each other. What happened? You were always cool. Now you're acting uncool. You know, we want to benefit from your nur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believers, they will say something to the munafiqun. And they will say four things to the munafiqun. And these are four steps. These four things I'm going to share with you right now from Surah Hadid are, as the ulama, they explain, that these are the four steps to misguidance. These are four steps that often a person takes, and slowly and gradually, they become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing that they will say is, yes, you are with us. But the first thing they will say is, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. That you put yourself in fitna. You put yourself in a situation where your iman will be put to test. That means that the human being understands that if I'm sitting with my phone, see, we all know our own weaknesses. We know that there are certain places that will trigger us to commit a sin and be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that there are certain people, sometimes they are friends in most cases. When we are around those kind of people, most certainly we will commit a sin. Most certainly we will be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will do things that we are not very proud of ourselves. We will not want our parents to know. We will not want our wife to know, our kids to know, our community members to know, our family members to know. We will not want anyone to know. But yet we know that if I go and I'm around these certain kind of people, I will fall into sin. Yet we put ourselves in that kind of situation. That's exactly what does فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ mean. You put yourself, meaning that Allah is telling us that we have put ourselves in a position of fitna. You know, when you go outside and you say, be careful of fitna, that means that you don't put yourself in a position where your iman is so weak that you are going to become enslaved to your desires. So don't go to those kind of places. But yet we choose to go to those kind of places. We know that being around other people may help us stay away from a sin. I have so many times people call me and they're like, what do I do if I'm always committing sins? I told them, would you commit sins when you are in public? They say no. Then I say, you know what? You need to be around more people at all times. Do not ever be alone. When we know, when a person knows that if I can be with my phone alone, I can search and I can browse the entire world, and I can also see haram things and so forth, and I can be talking to people that I'm not supposed to be talking to. I'll be talking to that girl or that boy at night when my parents are not even aware of, or even married men at times, or married women at times, you know, breaking and violating the sanctity of our marriage, talking to people that we're not supposed to be talking to and so forth. We are putting ourselves in a position where we can compromise our own faith. Allah is telling us, why are you doing this? This is the very first step that a person takes when they want to go far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when a person is indulged in a sin, then what happens is that they want to sometimes, you know, deep down inside, they feel like that, you know what, I need to stop this sin. I need to break this cycle of this, you know, this disobedience. So what do I need to do? The Quran says the second step often that happens is watarabbastum. Watarabbastum often means that you're hesitant. You're hesitant of stopping that sin. Why? Because if I stop the sin, if I tell my buddies that I don't want to go out with you because you don't have to be blunt with them, but you know that you're not able to protect your faith. You're going to cross the limits of Allah. I'm not going to go hang out with these guys. But I know that if I'm not going to hang out with them, I don't have any more friends. So I need to be around them. And yeah, I'll just probably maintain my faith and I'll protect my faith and so forth. But you see, what happens is that when you are hesitant of taking the right step, then you go deeper and deeper into that problem that eventually you cannot even get out of that own problem. You cannot even get out of that same problem. And another meaning of watarabbastum means that you have just decided to delay this. You've decided to delay this. Oh, you know what? This sin is in my life. I'm not very proud of it. But it's the end of September. October is just around the corner. Just 3 more months. Let December come. I'm going to get it out of my system. It will be out completely. Come January, I'm going to stop the sin. It doesn't work like that. You can be indulged in a sin so often and then you stop cold turkey. It doesn't work like that. You cannot just stop and just, it's not like a light switch that today I'm committing the sin, tomorrow khalas, I'm going to stop. There is no habit that you can break overnight. It doesn't happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the very first step is that these people, they put themselves in a position where their iman will be compromised. And number two is that they remain persistent in that sin, and they usually kick the can down the road. I will fix it later on. I'll fix it later on. I'll stay away from this sin later on. But then the third thing that often happens is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرْتَبْتُمْ. They begin to have doubts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They first of all doubt their own faith. And usually what happens in that kind of situation is that shaitan says that, man, you know, you've already committed this sin. You're already so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't try to act too pious. Just, you know, just commit this sin. Get it out of your system. Just enjoy yourself. You're young and so forth. So a person says, yeah, you know what? Why not? So what you're doing is that you're doubting your own progress. You can make progress, but you're doubting that. And not only that, but the Quran also means, when Allah says that he begins to doubt, this person also begins to doubt their own faith. See, when people often come to me and they say that this person is starting to question their faith and their iman, you don't begin questioning your faith and iman overnight. There is always a cycle of sins, a cycle of disobedience. You're doing things one after another. And one sin, every sin that you are committing, or sometimes we are committing, is greater than the previous sin. We're used to one sin. We don't find that challenging anymore. We want to commit another sin, and another sin, and another sin. And eventually what happens is, because any kind of nur, of Quran, of tilawa, of salat, of dhikr, of sadaqah, of any khayr that we have done, because as the Prophet ﷺ says, that when you commit a sin, there's a black dot that appears on your heart. And if you keep on committing sins, then that heart becomes darkened. And that means that there is no nur that can enter their heart. There is no verse of the Quran that can change that person's life. There is no hadith that can change that person's life. There is no janazah that can happen where that will change your life and so forth, because your heart has become dead. And you need to, when you see a dead heart, you know what they do? You know when they give shocks to that heart just to revive it? That's what happens. Now you need to give it a shock. Now sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put that person into such a calamity, then that's the only way they come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've seen people who have gone so far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but one car accident changed their entire life. You know what that was? That was a shock from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah then says that this person begins to doubt their faith. Why did Allah have to make deen so difficult? Like, I've heard people say that Islam and Allah takes the fun out of life, subhanAllah. Like, how can a person say something like that? Like, every single hukum, every single law that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for our own protection purposes. Is to look after us. Allah knows what's good for us. Allah knows what's bad for us. Allah wants us to succeed in this dunya. Allah wants us to become successful in the akhirah. And yet we're saying things such as that Islam is taking away the fun out of my life. No, Islam is not taking away the fun out of your life. You want to commit sins. You think that that's freedom, whereas that's slavery. But we call that freedom in our society. And the slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is actually freedom, which we don't understand. And we're saying that Islam is taking the fun. This is where a person begins to doubt Allah. Then they start to read in the Quran. And they start taking the verses of the Quran. And they try to start interpreting the Quran to the way they like it. To fit their needs. To fit their agenda. To fit their nature. They don't want to change themselves. But they want to change the Quran to fit their lifestyle. And then they start to raise objections about Islam. Why does Allah do this? Why does Allah do that? The Quran tells us very clearly, when people go far away from their salat and they follow their desires, leaving salat in itself will lead you to following your desires. And when you become a slave, when we become slaves to our desires, then khalas, we forget about Allah. And then either you are a slave, either we are the slaves of Allah, or we become a slave to our desires. And often a person becomes a slave to their desires when they don't take the right path. So Allah then says, finally, the last thing that often happens is, وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. The hopes are endless. The hopes are endless. And that is when a person will come and say, you know what? I'm committing a sin. I'm living a life of sin. I don't pray. I don't do this. I don't do that. There's committing so many violations. And you know what? I cannot stop the sin. So I'm keep on going on. But you know what their last resort is? That, don't you know, brother? Allah loves me more than my mother. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Don't you know Allah is Ghafoor Rahim? Allah will forgive me, no doubt. Allah, and then they will start quoting all the ahadith regarding Allah's rahmah and Allah's mercy and so forth. And we often forget that, like, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Shadidul Iqab also. The same Allah who created a Jannah, that same Allah created a Jahannam also. There's reward and there's consequences. So this is what we need to realize, that we cannot just keep on living a life of sin. Because think about it. This idea that let me just sin over and over again, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, Allah will take care of it. What's the difference between that Muslim and a Christian then? Because a Christian says what? That I can do whatever I want to do today because Jesus Christ has died for my sins, right? That's what they say. I can do whatever I want because Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's no different in one way that this idea that Allah is Ghafoor Rahim is giving you a free pass to do whatever you want. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. They have all these big hopes that Allah will forgive them. Yes, if Allah wants to forgive them, that's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you cannot live a life of sin, deliberately sinning every single day and then saying, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. It does not work like that. That's why in our deen, there's something called khawf and raja. There's something called fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's something called having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot just have one and not have the other. There is, the Muslim is always between khawf and raja. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said that I have so much khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if everyone was going to go to Jannah and only one person is going to go to Jahannam, I fear that that person who's going to go to Jahannam is me. And on the other hand, I have so much hope in Allah that if everyone's going to go to Jahannam and only one person is going to go to Jannah, I have that much hope in Allah that that person would be me to go to Jannah. A person has to always be between khawf and raja. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person is living that kind of lifestyle, وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ, eventually the time comes, حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. What does Amrullah mean? The hukum of Allah, the order of Allah. It means that death comes upon this person. And they leave this dunya in a way that they are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is telling us, do not live that kind of life. Allah is warning us. The very first step is that you put yourself in that position of sin. Don't do this to yourself. Stop yourself. Control yourself. This is what Allah is telling all of us. So this is what we need to do, and this is what's mentioned in the Quran. And many ulama, they say that these are the four steps to either to misguidance or the four steps to for a person to become a munafiq and a hypocrite in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to stay away from sins. And if we are involved in any kind of sin, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get us and to give us the tawfiq to get out of that sin and come closer to His obedience. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fi Qur'an azeem. Wa nafa'ana wa iyyakum ati wa dhikr hakeem. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al ghafur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد. Not the next ayah but the ayah after that. It's a very beautiful verse of Surah Hadid. In fact, this verse, many ulama of the past, many people of the Salaf, they have written that this ayah in itself was the means of them changing their life. What is that ayah? Allah says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come yet? You know, like we say, like, come on, like, you know, wake up, smell the coffee, wake up, you know, stop dreaming. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, has the time not come yet? Like, how many advices do you need? How many verses of the Quran do you need for you to change your life? Has the time not come yet? أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that your heart comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like you are hearing about Allah jalla wa ala, so your heart needs to come back to the Almighty. Has that time not come yet? أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And the fact that Allah has revealed the truth to you, is that not enough for you? And then Allah says, وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبَلْ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. There are people of the past who came, they did not take the lesson, they never took a lesson from the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result their hearts became hard. Brothers and sisters, this is the worst thing that can happen to any one of us. If our hearts become so hard that no verse of the Quran, no story in the community, no acts, no, like, you know, sudden death in our family or community members will change our life, then the question is that we have done something so wrong that we have gone so far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to be given shocks at this time right now. Like, we, our hearts need to be given a spiritual shock. And that is why in times like these, we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes time. You cannot be a person, a lot of times, I'm going to finish on this inshallah. There are times when people are living in such a life of sin, and then they feel like that I've come back to the masjid just for one day, 2 days, 1 week, 1 month, and I should be a changed person. It does not work like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took 23 years to reveal the Quran. The lesson behind that is that it takes time to bring a change in your life. You cannot expect a change in 1 week, 1 month. You have to give it years and years. The Sahaba themselves, they took so many years in order to build their faith and their iman. So this is why it is important. Take day by day, but come back to close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sure that we don't do anything that we put ourselves in fitna in any kind of situation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hearts that are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create in our hearts a dislike for disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create in our hearts the love of the a'mal the good that will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen rabbil alameen. Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansurna ala man khalafana. Wahfad biladana wa aslih awladana. Washfi maradana wa afi mubtalana. Warham mawtana. Wa khud biaydina ila kulli khair. Wa asimna min kulli shar. Wahfadna min kulli dhair. Allahumma qassim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi bayna wa bayna ma'asiyatik. Wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna bihi jannatak. Wa min yaqini ma tuhawinu bi alayna masaib al dunya. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما حيتنا واجعل الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب أمين رب العالمين. I once again want to remind everyone, myself, that always keep our brothers and sisters of Palestine in your du'as at all times. And not just only our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Gaza, but all over the world, wherever our Muslim brothers and sisters are oppressed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid them and give them nusra and give them nusra and give them fatah. Ameen rabbil alameen. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuru li wa la takfurun aqimis salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So, make sure the lines are straight, fill in the gaps, and turn off your cell phones. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله